Morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
Serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Now, we all know the NFL is a multi-billion-dollar business, but can they get out of their own way? Is it possible? We're still talking about kneeling. We're still talking about Colin Kaepernick. And now, full discussion, probably ESPN 24/7 on the new helmet rule. So you can't lead with your helmet, which I'm pretty sure was the old rule, but now there's a new rule, and they're trying to figure out what to do with the rule. It's basically a league, they can't screw it up. There's so much money coming in, you can't screw it up. But if you went to any of the owners' meetings, you'd see these guys. All these owners, you said, well, that's a lot of, it's kind of a collection of boobs who just inherited the teams from their fathers who may have been, in fact,
shot of Jed York.
Shrewd businessmen. I'm saying, not all of them, plenty of great people, I'm sure. Yeah. But also just a lot of boobs who should wear a T-shirt that say, I inherited an NFL team.
My interest in the NFL has waned since the Rams vacated. And I haven't watched a whole lot. My viewing might go up this year because I kind of want to see if these new, the rule you alluded to, just blows up in their face. And it'd be kind of fun to watch.
I mean, how at this point?
No one knows how to tackle.
How I don't think they not get this right?
I don't think you're even going to need to watch the games to see it blow up in your face. You're just going to have to be on Twitter because people are going to be complaining en masse.
Coaches.
Just about the stoppages, their team particularly getting screwed over by the penalty yardage. I mean, people are going to be freaking out the entire season.
The NFL is having daily dialogue about the application of their new rule. What a bunch of idiots. It's unbelievable. Huge. And watch Thursday Night Football on Fox, please. But it's unbelievable how they can't seem to get anything right.
Can you imagine if baseball created a rule that made the distinction between out and safe more ambiguous?
All right, don't give me any ideas. They actually might. Hey, Midday Grind brought to you this hour by Fast Eddie's, all about the food and the fun in Alton, Illinois. If you haven't been, get back to Fast Eddie's. Check it out. Great weekend event with couples. Maybe grab a couple of buddies, head up there, hang out all day. They got the music going 7 days a week. Get the Fat Eddie burger, half-pound burger for about $2. The peel and eat shrimp. All the food's outstanding and extremely low pricing. I was up there and asked Corey, the general manager, when's the last time you guys raised prices on your food? He said, honestly, I can't remember. That's the deal. When you go to Fast Eddie's in Alton, Illinois, stop by, have some food. You will definitely have some fun. Cardinal baseball, a lot of fun these days. Here are the numbers. In August, 15-4. Under Mike Schilt, 22-11. And since the bullpen blowup, 18-6. So that Friday, late July, going into a weekend series with the Cubs, Mike Schilt's 3-5, started things out of the All-Star break, 3-5 since the break, went to Wrigley, went to Cincinnati. You're not all that inspired. Same old, plenty of us, I'm sure, on this show said, hey, it's the same team, same roster. Suddenly it looks really different, especially with the bullpen. 18-6 since the bullpen blow up. Cardinals going for a win tonight. That would mean an eighth straight series win. That's what it's been like. Last night, late night, over four hours before the dramatic result sounded like this. With Danny Mac on the call, the Dodgers had come back to tie it. 3-0 Cardinal lead gave way to 3-3. We go to the ninth. Hopefully you stayed up late. My mom was texting this morning. She said, what happened? I went to bed. Here's what it sounded like on Fox Sports Midwest.
And he lifts it in the air. Left center, Taylor back, gone! Jed Jerko, 4-3 Cardinals. Jerko a solo home run off of Jansen here in the ninth. Muncie and Taylor. And Carpenter lifts one out to center. Taylor back, how about back-to-back home runs? Carpenter goes deep. back-to-back solo shots to start the ninth for St. Louis.
How much fun was that? And joining us now, providing the scoops on the Midday Grind, the one and only Danny Mac. Dan, how are you?
Martin, it's been too long.
It has been too long. This is the mistake you make when a guy's hosting a show. His co-host, Charlie, happens to be out today, and we're texting a little bit earlier, and then I thought, wait a minute, Dan's up. He might as well check in with us. Great calls last night. How much fun has this been for you? People think the media loves the negative, but, boy, it's a hell of a lot more fun when they're playing good ball.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the way I describe it is that for my job, me personally, and I am in the media, but I do try to call the game straight, but I lean towards the Cardinals. You know, I'm a Cardinal fan, grew up in St. Louis, want to see him do well. So to see this turnaround has been, you know, personally, it's been a lot of fun because I know Mike Schilt very well. I think he's done a great job. Professionally, it makes it a lot easier. You come to the ballpark in late August and really mid to late August, and if you got a chance to win, man, it just energizes everybody around you, and that includes being a broadcaster because the games are so exciting. You know, you look at Martin, they've lost, I think, four games in August, and all four games have been by one run, and two or three of the four have been with the tying run or winning run in scoring position. So every game's been exciting. That's all you can ask for, and make it entertaining. So it's been fun.
How about a thought on Dodger Stadium? I talked about this on TV last night, that it's the one old state. Like, Wrigley, they went in and said, we got to change it. They put in the Jumbotrons. They built their own ballpark village. It just... good for them, but it doesn't feel the same. Dodger Stadium, I'm sure there's upgrades behind the scenes, but for the most part, since 1962, and this is in L.A. where everything is new and phony and everything's fresh and brand new, I can't believe that thing has never been messed with. As a broadcaster, too, the view that you get, how much do you appreciate going? It's only once a year now. How much do you enjoy being there?
I enjoy it. I mean, I like going to older stadiums anyway, and they have made improvements behind the scenes. So, for instance, if you go into the clubhouses, they're much different than they were, say, 5 or 10 years ago. They did do an expansion in terms of taking away some of the foul territory around home plate. But really, for the most part, to your point, I mean, it's the same place. And so I love, you know, to me in baseball, you're judged on, in many ways, your numbers, and you're compared era by era. To, well, Babe Ruth did this, and now this guy's doing this, and this guy did it in the 60s, and now he's doing this. Well, you know, this is the same stuff been going on for year after year at Dodger Stadium, and nothing changes. So it's like, man, Kirk Gibson was here, and I remember that play. I remember when Fernando Valenzuela threw a no-hitter against the Cardinals here. This is the same spot. So, I mean, I like going to older ballparks. You know, the amenities may not be the same as going to a brand-new park, but you know, give me Wrigley, Fenway, Old Yankee Stadium, Dodger Stadium now. I mean, it's pretty cool, Martin. It really is.
Give us an idea, too, tonight. I'm sure on the broadcast it'll come up. But Daniel Ponce de Leon, not the fact that he's pitched well, but, I mean, this is amazing. If you step away from the playoff chase and the Cardinals winning ways of late, just his personal story of where he was a year ago, and now he's making a start in a big-time game. I mean, it's... to his credit, it's amazing that he's in this position.
It is, and it wasn't lost on me, by the way, last night. The Cardinals, outside of Bud Norris, in a pennant race, had all three rookies coming in. Think about that. And you're going against the Dodgers, and two of the three guys that are in the rotation for the Cardinals, Ponce de Leon tonight and Flaherty tomorrow, are from this area, so they're going to be especially pumped up about it. If you go back to about a year ago at this time, Daniel Ponce de Leon was kind of reconnecting with teammates, and within the next month he'd be throwing out the first ceremonial first pitch of a ballgame that Memphis was playing in postseason. So, yeah, it's amazing. And I know the backstory very, very well and have heard some of the private stories of what Daniel went through and his family went through more than what has been talked about and written. And, Martin, it is unbelievable. I mean, there's a lot of people that felt that he was going to die. There was some touch and go moments with that when that ball came back and hit him on the head and had emergency brain surgery and came out of it. But to his credit, amazing kid, fearless, and a great story. I don't think it gets enough play nationally, but certainly in St. Louis, I think people understand the guts that it takes to go out and do something that he's doing right now.
Dan, do you think they gave thought to maybe starting Hudson, but then they can't really take him out of the bullpen? I mean, you could argue that Hudson might give you a great start tonight as well, but do you think it was basically you can't mess with what's working in the pen?
I think so. I also think that we got a good example of Hudson maybe being out of steam a little bit. Now, you know, Mike Schilt has used him a lot. And the idea initially was that they would shut Hudson down after the minor league season. So for fans that don't know, the minor league season ends in August, basically, the end of August, early September, Labor Day, essentially. And then if you're postseason play, you go on, and then that's it. But they were going to shut him down and then give him a full off season and then let him compete for a spot in the rotation next spring. Well, that changed quickly after the firing of Mike Matheny and the change in dismissal of the batting coaches and then obviously the makeover that they had in the bullpen. And he's become such a weapon, Martin, that I don't think that they – I'm sure that it was talked about, like, hey, wouldn't this be great if we looked at this direction? But I bet that conversation was short because the guy's become a complete weapon coming out of the bullpen. And Ponce de Leon has been stretched out a little bit too. So his appearances, he's got a couple that he's had at least three innings. So I think they felt they could get maybe better length at this point. And like I said initially in answering the question and making a point here, you know, they've gone to Ponce de Leon a lot. And I think they've got to be careful here in the final 5 weeks of the regular season just how much they go to him because he hasn't been in this spot where you go in back-to-back games or 3 out of 4 or let's say 4 out of 6, which was earlier this week. So I'm sure there's going to be some caution and kid gloves used with him here down the stretch.
Dan McLaughlin, the voice of the Cardinals, Fox Sports Midwest. Tonight, baseball again from Chavez Ravine, Cards, Dodgers, and as mentioned, Ponce de Leon tonight. And then you've got Jack Flaherty tomorrow, the young guns, making these big starts for the Cardinals. Credit where credit's due. Brett Cecil came back. I think a lot of us were nervous. How are they going to use him?
Were you watching the game last night, or had you fallen asleep?
I tuned out. I got to be honest. I didn't make it all the way.
What about Hoffman?
Hoffman, I think Hoffman was monitoring closely.
Dan, I apologize. I was watching on the couch, and I dozed off in about the eighth inning. I woke up and saw
I watched
Fox Sports postgame, though, afterwards. It was wonderful.
I took it as a total shot.
I'm sorry, Dan.
Sorry, I'm over it.
So, credit where credit's due. Brett Cecil comes back. I think we're all a little bit nervous. You know, how are they going to use him? And he talked real candid. I think Charlie even talked to him last week, and he was like an open book about it. He said, I got to get over the mental approach, and I've worked with Chris Carpenter, and I read a book by Harvey Dorfman, and really just candid about how my mindset's got to be right. I know I can do it. I got to think the right way. How much do you think Chris Carpenter had the influence in terms of the mental approach?
Well, I can't answer that really, Martin, because I'm not in those private conversations, and I was around Chris at the Hall of Fame ceremony. Matter of fact, sat down with him for a while and had the chance to visit with he and his two kids, but we really didn't talk much baseball. And I don't like getting into those private conversations because I think that's the business of him and Brett Cecil. But if you're looking for a guy to give you a mental or a positive approach, he's the guy. Now, I have seen him around a lot of different players because he pops in and out. You know, all of a sudden you'll just see, hey, Carp's here, whether it be on the road or at home. And he gets with each guy, and they talk about approach and what they want to do and being better and what would you do in this situation. You know, he's a very, very good resource. But in terms of what's going on with Cecil, I give Mike Schilt a lot of credit. I mean, Mike brought him in the other day. He had a scoreless inning. And there was pressure there on Cecil. And then he brought him in a key spot. I guess it was over the weekend. He got out of that. And then last night, I mean, that took guts. Because I'm sure the entire Cardinal Nation that's been following this team was saying, what is Mike Schilt doing here? Well, Mike Schilt's trying to get a guy back, too. And Mike Schilt is trying to win the game, but also build a guy up for the last 5 weeks when Gregory Polanco's up and Joey Votto is up and any lefty you can think of. He needs that guy. Look, if he's going to be here for this year and beyond, you need him. And sure enough, he got out of the jam. He gets Bellinger to hit that fly ball to center. When I'm watching what he's doing, I thought, wow, this takes guts because you know people are going to come down on him if it doesn't work. You know it. I mean, he's going to get destroyed. And it didn't work, and the Cardinals come back and win the game. So it was a scenario that unfolded that I'm assuming Brett Cecil has got to come out of that game and saying, man, I not only did I get my guy, but I contributed to what was a huge win for us on the road. So things going and trending in the up, you know, the right way with him.
Hey, we had Tony La Russa on a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about Mike Shildt, what he remembered, observed. They'd obviously spent time together because he was in the organization for, you know, 15 years total, but that would overlap with Tony for nearly a decade. And then they had a chance. We saw it on the cameras this weekend, those two catching up and talking. You've known Shildt for a long time. I know you're a fan of his. Give us an idea. Like, the day he got the job, you even said to me, he'll be great. He'll do a great job. I didn't know much about him. What did you know before this run started? Why did you think it would work?
He's very, very bright. He's a baseball lifer, baseball rat, if you will. He's constantly trying to soak up information, and that means from everybody. I mean, he'll come to me and say, what did you think of the move? You know, yeah, I could have done this, shouldn't I? And I said, well, I mean, you could have done this or that, and it just didn't work out. And he'll say, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. But, you know, why did you think that? Now we'll go over it. And he does that constantly with his team, his players, whether it be Tony La Russa, front office. He's very, very confident in where he's at as a baseball person. So he, you know, if a move doesn't work, he'll give me an answer as to why it didn't work and what he was thinking. So he's got a very, very confident approach in how he handles his decision-making. He is a disciple, if you will, of the George Kisel way of baseball. And so those truisms that you hear about with George, it's coming to life here with with Mike Shildt. I mean, he carries that black book. He's got it memorized of the teachings, the sayings, the scenarios, the situations that George had written about and talked about. And that means like dealing with a player or talking about why you go first to third or what you do with an eighth place hitter. I mean, all these things that are in there. And he also is, to his credit, Mike, a guy that brings in analytics. So, for instance, we've seen that he is quick to go to his bullpen. So if he sees a guy's not going well and it's second, third time through a lineup, boom, he's out of there. I think he's done that now. He's won four games in limited time, under 40 games. He's done that in which he's had a starter go under five innings and gone to his bullpen and won those games. So, and the other thing he's got great respect from his coaching staff. I mean, those guys are on board. They love Mike. They think he can do the job. They know he'll do the job. And the thing that I think that gives the Cardinals comfort in making this decision to bring him in as the interim manager, they've seen him manage in the minor leagues. So now he's getting even more tools with the front office help with the analytics and whatnot. And as Mo has talked about, it's his interview in basically in how he does and how he performs, because we know him as a person. He's a great guy and a vital asset to the organization. So it wouldn't surprise me, Martin, at all if the club continues to go in this direction that they would take away the interim tag before the season is out, because he's done that well. He's done that good of a job. Now, it's not to say they won't do their due diligence and maybe look outside the organization and interview people just to hear a different viewpoint of what people think about the team or the organization. But I think right now it's Mike's to lose, and he's proven that he should have the job.
You can get your daily dose of baseball, maybe even a little PGA talk in there at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Find it online. There's Mondays with Mo, minor league reports, all things, now almost all things Cardinals. Mix it up every once in a while here. They're probably working. I bet you'll work in a little bit of Blues at some point. How did ScoopsWithDannyMac.com become a thing?
Really? You want the long story of this?
Well, I'm wondering, Dan, because you're kind of busy already, Dan, and then I'm like, really? You started a website as well?
Well, here's the deal. Guys like you would always ask me to come on their shows, right?
That's fair.
Okay, so I figured I might as well use that to be able to promote a website.
Correct.
So I just did.
See? That was all so you would have something to promote.
Short version.
You just wanted
now,
something to
short
pitch.
Version. Now, here's the other thing, though. So Fox said to me like 5-6 years ago, you got to get on Twitter. I said, I don't want to be on Twitter. They said, well, you got to do it. I said, I don't do social media. They said, okay, well, you got to do it because you got to promote the game. So I would mock my counterparts like a Martin Kilcoyne, who was already on Twitter, or Brian Hoffman or others, and say, hey, the game's on tonight at 7:15. If you haven't heard, hashtag Scoops. And so people would be like, what's Scoops? I'm like, I'm scooping you all. I got Scoop. I got the inside info. So it just became a hashtag that I just joked around with. So then that developed over the years. And then I was doing a bunch of radio shows, and I said, you know, I ought to do something that I think I can monetize and actually sit down with people, which is good because I like doing it. So the Mike Schilts and Bob Gibson and Willie McGee and this access that I have to people, and I think they'd like to hear their stories. And so that's why I did this. And so then it turned out to be not just a podcast, but then game reports every day. And as you mentioned, Mondays with Mo, so John Mozeliak does every Monday, and the Minor League Report every Tuesday and Friday. And I've got like a Where Are They Now segment. I do a mailbag with it. And I really enjoy it. It's been fun for me. I miss doing radio. I've been primarily a TV guy now for a while, and I miss it. I love doing the editing and the grind of it, and sit down with people and talk to them and find out what makes them tick. It's kind of cool.
Danny Mac can be found on Twitter. He's very active there. You can find him on his website, scoopswithdannymac.com, and of course on the broadcast tonight, Cards and Dodgers. He's probably off to Venice Beach to pump some iron. Dan, thanks for hopping on with us, buddy. We'll talk down the road.
Martin, again, it's been way too long. You know how much I love these.
All right, great. Hear that, Hoff? I think he wants to be back on next week. Is that what that was?
I'll text you.
This is how good of friends Dan and I are. I admitted to him. I admitted that I was a little overserved, and I texted Bill DeWitt III and asked for Def Leppard tickets, and he kind of shamed me back via text that Dan did. I think Dan was embarrassed for me. It was a sad moment. I think Dan's gone. Is that right? He wants nothing to do with the Def Leppard conversation. All right. Danny Mac checking in with us. And don't forget, Cardinals are going to host the Reds the weekend of August 31st through the September 2nd game. That's the Labor Day weekend. Great giveaways that whole series, including an embroidered Cardinals jersey that is courtesy of TD Ameritrade. Get those tickets now. Cardinals.com/promotions. A little more housekeeping. This Friday, the Press Box and the Midday Grind are going to be broadcasting live from Everett Moody Park this Friday from 10 until 1. It's the 30th Midwest Salute to the Arts family-friendly event taking place Friday through Sunday at beautiful Everett Moody Park, Long Acre Drive. Come on out. Enjoy the 100 artists on display, interactive children's creation station, art and fine craft demonstrations, children's gallery, admission free. It's all brought to you by the Illinois Office of Tourism and Illinois South Tourism. Come by and see us at Moody Park this Friday starting at 10 a.m.